Many years ago in New Zealand, when we were still working there, in our kind of our first, ministry opportunity, working with my brother in a little town called Manurewa, we came across a book by a man called Jerry Cook. He pastored a church in Oregon in America, and at that stage, and it was in the 70s, it was the fastest growing church in America. Exploded, and then he had a major burnout, hit the wall, and a lot of the work that he had accomplished was kind of passed on to someone else, and he took a back seat. But he wrote a book. It's called Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness, and it's pretty much what Marilyn and I have built our ministry on those three words: love, acceptance, and forgiveness. I guess our hearts have always been to endeavor to be like Jesus, to always see people as he sees them. And Joe, if I can give you any advice as a pastor, now been serving, I think, for 43 years, I believe that those three words encapsulate, I believe, ministry. If we can love people, if we can accept people and forgive them, then I believe we can build, for Jesus, working with him, an amazing church. Because people need to be loved, they need to be forgiven, and they sure need to be accepted. Whatever their background, the color of their skin, their sexual preference, whatever it is, the church is here to reach out to people and to love them. If we can love them like Jesus and see deeper than what others see the potential in people, pull that out. So I just want to encourage you, as you build this church that God's called you to, loving people, accepting people, forgiving people, it's a pretty powerful thing. Yesterday, as I do most mornings, I go to a cafe in my little town called Blaxland. Monday to Friday at 6 o'clock, I go down there for my morning coffee. Unfortunately, on Saturdays, they don't open until 8 o'clock. So I was down there, I was sitting with a kind of someone in the town who's like the pastor of the town. If I want to know anything about Blaxland, I ask Steve. I call him Steve the Fiery. He's a fireman. He knows everybody. He knows everything. I only have to ask about what does this person do in my street. And this, he just knows everything. And as we were sitting, Steve and I were sitting drinking coffee, one of his friends came along. It was a young girl. It was probably, mid-20s. And she wants to be in the Fireys like Steve. She wants to be a full-time fire person. And she's called a retained firefighter. And she's trying to get a full-time gig. And she was talking from a woman's point of view, the challenges of getting into the fire brigade. Apparently each year they accept 9,000 men, but only 1,000 women who get accepted into full-time firefighting. And I could see this girl was passionate, and she was fit, she was strong. And I thought, there's no reason why she shouldn't be accepted. If it was me, I'd bring her in, I'd accept her. And it's that glass ceiling for a lot of women that we need to see breakthrough in. And I'm thrilled this morning. I think this is the first time I've ever prayed a woman into a senior pastor's role. And I think that's pretty exciting. It's pretty breakthrough. Good on you, Oberon, for changing the mold and for breaking through. I think it's brilliant. And I just wanted to read something to you from the book of Genesis. In verse 27 of Genesis 1, it says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." And we have this incredible talent in this beautiful lady called Jo, who's going to set the place on fire. And we're going to see God do some pretty significant things. So thank God for women in leadership. I once was in someone's office and he had a book on his shelf and it was like, "Leadership is male." If I told you the author of the book, you would all know his name, famous English writer. But his concept was leadership in the church. There's no place for the female. It's leadership is male. I thank God that we have seen the last, I don't know how many years, that thinking broken. And you see leaders in the church. We see someone as world famous as Joyce Meyer, who is setting new standards. And I have had the privilege of meeting her husband, Dave, a genuine, humble man who honors his wife as the called one in her family to preach the word. And I've watched him. He always goes to the edge of the platform. He takes her by the hand and he walks her up and he goes back to his seat. And I guarantee that Dave is praying as Joyce expands and teaches the word with such power and authority. That's a beautiful picture. And it doesn't make Dave a lesser of a man, but he recognizes that God has called his wife to a public ministry, and he's happy to support her and play golf on his days off, and he's a pretty good golfer. So to break that glass ceiling, I believe in equality. I believe in equality, and I think we've got a long way to go as a society, and I'm not trying to make this a political platform this morning, but it's appropriate and it's right that we are recognizing the call of God on Joe's life to lead a church, and it's wonderful. And we thank God for that calling on her life, and praise God that Andy and Carol have recognized that. Hats off to you, and I honor you today. Because, and the board have made that decision together, I'm sure with unity, collectively, going forward. Because where there's unity, the Bible says, God commands the blessing. And where there's unity, where we can stand together and believe together and be strong together, there the Bible says, God commands the blessing. We want commanded blessing on this church. We want commanded blessing on God's kingdom, so that the church of Jesus Christ can go forward. Where there's unity, God commands the blessing. So let's believe together to see God do what he's promised. The words that have spoken. When we first came to the Blue Mountains Church nearly 10 years ago, the first thing I asked the staff for, I want to see every prophetic word that was ever spoken over this church. Because I think that's significant. And as we began, I said, we looked at it and the word that came through in our church was God wants our church in a prominent position. And where our church is not in a prominent position. And we're praying and lobbying for a particular place where our church will become into a prominent position. I'm not sure what prophetic words have been spoken historically over this church, but I tell you, God doesn't change his mind and God doesn't forget. And when God speaks, we have to understand there's a timing. Dave Wilkerson wrote two books, to my knowledge. One was Cross and the Switchblade. Everybody knows it. But he wrote another book called Beyond the Cross and the Switchblade. And there's a chapter in that book on timing. And when I read that book, it was significant because he talked about God's timing's perfect. And God thinks outside of time and space. So, you know, 1,000 days is as a... Did I get that back? Back to front? 1,000 years is as a day to the Lord. Yes. And so God thinks outside of time and space. So God says something and he promises it and it gets prophesied over our life and we think it's going to happen tomorrow. But it could be 20 years. It could be 25 years. It could be 30 years. There's a time lapse between when God speaks and it becomes reality. And we've got to be patient to wait for God. So I'm not sure what prophetic words have been spoken in the years, the 20 years that you guys have been here, but I guarantee God has spoken consistently about certain things. And as we take those words and say, Lord, we're going to pray into those words. We're going to believe to see you do what you promised. You watch what God will do. Because God builds his church. And the gates, as I quoted before, the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 talks about, let me just turn to it in Ephesians 4 and verse 11 when I find it here, nearly there. Aren't you glad in Sunday school? Well, I'm glad in Sunday school that my Sunday school teachers taught me to memorize all the books of the Bible. And I can still quote them from Genesis to Revelation. So it's very helpful when you're trying to find something. So Ephesians 4 and verse 11, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So he gave fivefold gifts, pastor, evangelist, prophet, teacher, to equip the church to do the work of the ministry. I'm not sure what your motivational gifts are. I'm not sure what your strongest gift is. But whatever it is, God has given you and gifted you to equip the church to do the work of ministry. And I believe that as we do what God, because it says there, so Christ himself gave those fivefold gifts to the body. Not every church has each of those five gifts within, but with churches opening up their doors to other ministries coming in. For example, the evangelist comes in and he equips the saints to do evangelism. It's not so much he does evangelistic crusades, I believe. The evangelist comes into a church to teach people how to be soul winners, equips them how to reach out, gives them confidence to go and share their faith. We right now, we've been doing a series in our church called Conversations with Jesus, because I believe we have a great opportunity to reach out to the unchurched and share our faith. And a very normal, because the more spiritual you become, the more natural you become. We don't become weird. We just become normal and real. We reach out to people and share the love of Christ just as Jesus did. So he gave those gifts to the church. And Joe, you're a gift that God has given to this church to equip this church to do the work of the ministry. And as you're faithful in doing what God's give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word and to all the things that we do as pastors and leaders, and we present ourselves to God, God uses us, he builds his church. The gates of hell never prevails against it because he's building his church. And he's anointed you to do what you've called to do, and God will take care of the rest. He will bring in what you need. He'll equip you and he'll provide. There's no shortage of money. There's no shortage of opportunity. God will provide. God is faithful to build his church. So I believe God will provide everything you need to see this church go forward as you stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before you and as you honor those who have gone before. That's such an important thing to honor. And as we honor those who have gone before, recognize the work that they have done, God's church will just go from strength to strength. Amen. So let's believe God together. Those three words, love, acceptance, and forgiveness. Recognize that you are Christ's hands and feet to this community, and what a difference you can make right here in Oberon and beyond. And who knows what God's going to do? Only eternity will tell the fruit of the labor in which you build as you serve faithfully in this vineyard. Your heart's here. I can tell it. You've got an authority. I heard you pray in that back room, and I thought, yes, this lady knows what she knows. God, you can tell by the way someone prays. She's in touch with God, and God's going to do great things. So I commend you to this great church, and I believe that God's going to bless and enrich and continue to work in the way that he's promised. And God be the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you today for all that you're doing. As the band returns and we're going to sing one more song together, Lord, I just pray that your blessing, which makes rich and adds with it no sorrow, Lord, we pray for your blessing to rest upon this church going forward. We thank you. We ask you, Lord, to continue to do what you've promised, and only you can do what you've said. Lord, we declare over this church the words that you've promised, the prophetic words that have been spoken, all those words, Lord, of promise. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God who cannot lie. So we pray your blessing on its future. We honor you and we thank you for your word this morning. We may be enriched, encouraged, and built up. In Jesus' name.